We have been talking about the life of Elisha, and we've been in 2 Kings chapter 4 for a while, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'd like to remind you and read the text this morning that we're going to be looking at from 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 38. It says, "And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, 'Put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets.' So one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, 'Man of God, there is death in the pot.' And they could not eat it. So he said, 'Then bring some flour.' And he put it into the pot and said, 'Serve it to the people, that they may eat.' And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Then a man from Baal Shalisha, and came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, 'Give it to the people that they may eat.' But his servant said, 'What, shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, 'Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over.' So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord." As we look in this passage of Scripture, we saw a few weeks ago that our God often allows Christians to have problems. We look at Elisha and we see it's one problem after another problem after another problem. And we see that twice, and we said, if there's twice as many problems, you can see God do twice as many miracles. Then we looked at this poison in the stew that the sons of the prophets had to face. And we looked at antidotes for poison in the pew. And we said often the devil wants to attack us. He wants to get us down and to discourage us. And this world and sin just causes problem after problem after problem. But don't be discouraged, Christian, because when you see twice as many problems, you can see God working twice as many miracles. And then in this final part here, we see that Elisha had a faith. And with a small gift provided for these 100 men, God was able to give more than they could ever imagine. It just kept coming and kept pouring out what God provided. And we see that when our faith is real, God can provide more than we could ever imagine. And as we look at that this morning, let us begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you so much for the way that you provide. And Lord, I pray that today as we look in your word, as we look at what it means to be people who give, who watch you provide, that you are a God that moves and directs in the heart of men. And I pray that you might just help us to see you at work providing, being Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. And Lord, that it's a great blessing and encouragement for us to be givers and to be the instruments that you use to help those in need. I pray that you'll bless our study this morning. Help us to be hearers of the word and doers. Thank you so much for the word of God, for it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Usually I try to get something to open up before we get into the scriptures to encourage us, to get us thinking about what I'd like to talk about, kind of as an introduction. And this week I kind of had one. But I was like, I don't know if that's what I want to open with. So this morning, I get up and I read my Bible. And after I read my Bible, I'm looking at the news on the internet. And I came across this story, and I said, oh, wow, I think that that would really work. And I, reading a news article that was written yesterday, and I said, that goes along just with what I want to talk about today. And so I'm going to read to you a news article that I read this morning, written by Susan Madsen, and it's about a man who did something pretty amazing. It says here, before working at the State Department of Social and Health Services, handling after-hours calls, Naaman was a banker. His friends from banking days, Shashisha Karnan, said he had, excuse me, I think I'm not starting at the beginning. There's the beginning. Here we go. Alan Naaman, a Washington State social worker, died of cancer this year. All his life, the 63-year-old was known for his thriftiness. But those closest to him had no clue there was reason to his frugality. They found out after his death, when Naaman left a surprising $11 million estate to charities around the world. Naaman's beneficiaries and best friends were shocked by the amount of money he had saved up. For two decades, he'd worked for the State Department of Social Health and Services, making $67,000 a year. He also worked side gigs to earn extra cash. Sometimes he worked three jobs at once. He was the kind of guy who repaired his old battered shoes with duct tape. You know what I mean, right? The kind of guy that he was. He bought clothes from the grocery store. Yeah, that's right. He bought clothes from the grocery store. He loved cars, but drove the beat-up ones and ones on his solo road trips. He would go to the grocery store in delis at closing time to get the deals. His best friends said he would take them out to cheap fast food joints. He was thrilled when he was finally eligible for the seniors discount. The whole time, Naaman was sitting on a fortune. Before working at the State Department of Social and Health Services, handling after-hours calls, Naaman was a banker. His friends from his banking days, Shahisha Karnan, said he had inherited millions from his parents and saved millions from his own jobs. He saved $11 million by the time he died, and all that money was given to charities to help poor, sick, disabled, and abandoned children, the Associated Press reports. I mean, I read that and I go, wow, and it begins to spell out how he gave $1 million here and $1 million there. And he had saved all this money, and he was the kind of guy who would run around in his life and wore duct tape shoes and got food from the debt. And he was a penny pincher who had millions and millions of dollars and gave it all away upon his death. Neat story, right? Neat story. But I wonder, as I look and as I read this morning, and as we look at a God who provides, what's going on today? In this story that we're reading here in 2 Kings chapter 4, resources were scarce for Elisha. Here comes in an offering of food to these Bible college students, if you will, 100 of them. And you could just imagine what it must have been like to try and feed 100 sons of the prophets. Have you ever tried to feed 100 men? Ever tried to do that? It takes quite a bit of food. And some of you guys are going, I have to feed one man, and that takes quite a bit of food. But as we look at this, and here comes in a gift. 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And can you imagine what this would have been like? This is going to feed 100 men? I don't think so. But guess what? We have a God that provides. And the first thing that I'd like us to see is that in this story, there was a gift of generosity. And today, God is, in these last days, raising up a church that is generous. And it's important that we be generous. Ron Brew, a Christian financial calculator, has calculated that if all Christians were reduced to a welfare check from Social Security, and they tithed on that amount, the church overall would double its receipts. Isn't that kind of strange to think about? That the amount of money that the church gives, if everyone in the church, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the American church, were to be taken down to welfare checks that they were to get every week, and were to tithe on that, that the church would double the money coming into it that could be used for the glory of God. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, and as we see it, we see a group of people, and they were given things generously. And today, as you are sitting there in the pew, and as you're thinking about that, you know, has God called you to be generous? We heard this story this morning, and I hope that you've committed to pray for Kingdom Air Corps. And what's going on? They have a need. They lost their property, and they're trying to purchase that property, so they don't need to move. And you think about what Dwayne King's going on, and losing his son. And I hope that you've committed to prayer, and that, as we will see, in 1 month's time, a short amount of time, God will provide. God's already provided $100,000, we heard this morning, for Kingdom Air Corps. What's that to God? I mean, if some guy is able to duct tape his shoes and go to the deli and find these little bits of food and save $11 million to give away his charity, I think God can provide for Kingdom Air Corps and Dwayne King also. The next thing I'd like us to think about in this passage of Scripture is that this person was willing to give, and we as a church, the church doesn't need to stockpile food or weapons or money or anything like that. Sometimes we hear and we think about these groups that think the end of the world is coming. They build a bunker in their backyard, or maybe Y2K is coming, so we got to have enough food supply if something were to happen. We have a God that can provide. No matter what the situation is, we need to be prepared for a rainy day. But if the end of the world were to happen tomorrow, we got a God that's going to take care of us. And honestly, when I think about that, and I think about, oh, what if America's economy were to collapse tomorrow and everything were to go and Armageddon were, I think, man, first of all, if the end of the world is coming, I know that there's 1,007 years left in this world. And if things are going to get really bad, I believe in the rapture of the church, that Jesus Christ is calling those home. If I want to be prepared for that, I need to start making notes in my Bible so anybody that picks it up after I'm gone will have the answers right written right here. And also, as I look at this and as I read about that, I'm more worried. I shouldn't use worried. I'm more concerned about if my faith were to cause me to face persecution, would I be ready and prepared to make a stand for Jesus Christ? So I don't know that I should be stockpiling food and weapons and money and hiding it in case the end of the world happens. I need to be somebody who's being ready and prepared to give. Because I know that God, if I look at the world around me and I give and I reach out and I try to be a help to others, God will take care of me. He's been so faithful to me all these years. And so many of you talk to me and you tell me, you'll say to me, for 40 years I've been serving the Lord and been faithful to Him. He's always been faithful to me. And if you're worried today about if God will be faithful, if you choose to be somebody who will give to the Lord, if you can handle it, if it's something that you can do, don't worry. If you begin to serve the Lord and give,
He will be faithful to you. He'll take care of you. He's got you in his care, and he will not desert those who are his. Let's turn over our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, if you haven't gotten there already. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 is a very, very familiar verse. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Are you today actively laying up treasures in heaven? Not worrying about the things here on earth. And I think about this so often. Do you ever get a good pair of shoes? And you finally get those shoes broken in and feeling comfortable and you enjoy it. Isn't it right about that time that's the time your wife's saying, "You've had those shoes way too long. It's time to get rid of them." You guys know what I'm talking about. But shoes, they're going to wear away and be gone. I was looking up and I was having a little bit of nostalgia today. I can remember when I was a teenager, the fun thing, the cool thing was, and my dad would not let me get a pair of these, but they had those sneakers, and maybe Sean Langevin can remember, they had those sneakers that had this little ball on them and you could pump them up. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Sean? Pumps. Did your dad let you get a pair of those? Nope, me neither. Those cost way too much money. Nothing's changed. Kids are still doing the same thing today. And a pair of sneakers is just going to grow old. You know, but serving the Lord and doing things for Him, those types of things will last forever. And another thing that I often think about that my dad, all like he'd talk about this. He'd say, "A boat seems like a neat thing, but if you have a boat, you always got to be going out on the boat, doing maintenance on the boat, and fixing the boat up, and you got to go out every Sunday to be on the boat, and it take." Now I know that there are people that have boats that don't have to put that much into them, and can take it and can put it out on the lake once in a while and go fishing and enjoy it. There's some people that they spend all their money on something like that, on something that won't last forever. And in this passage of Scripture, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we saw someone that brought what they had and gave a gift to someone else. I ask you, you know, are you stockpiling food, weapons, or gifts or things for yourself, when you should be laying up treasures that are in heaven? We read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'd like us to turn over that passage of Scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's a verse that's awful special to me. One that I absolutely love. And it's in verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." I've often said, and some people have picked up on this, that I love Christian songs that come straight from the Word of God. You know, you take a Bible verse and you put it to music and you sing it and it's got a catchy tune. I love those songs because you got Scripture with you and it pops in your mind and there's the Word of God right in your mouth. And I can remember my mother, she had these CDs that there were Christian songs on them, and every Christian song was a Bible verse. And one of them was 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. I won't try singing the song to you this morning. I'd like you all to stay until the end. But if I were, when I walk down the road sometimes, I just have that verse coming. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. And that song is stuck. It's planted right in there. But sometimes when we memorize a Bible verse and we put it in our heart and it means something to us, we need to know the context to it. You know what I mean? We need to know where it comes from in the Bible and what it's talking about. That's why we have to be diligent students of the Word. And as we look here, the context that I have takes us all the way back to verse 6. But it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one who gives as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And I'm sitting here as I'm studying this, and I'm going, you know what? I've known that song forever, that God is able to make all grace about. I love that verse. And I knew this passage of Scripture where it says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and being a cheerful giver. And I've known those two passages of Scripture. And I read my Bible, and I've read this a number of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know I've read it a number of times, but I've never put the two verses together in context. And I've never thought about it until I was sitting here and studying this. I never put the two together. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. And I love that verse. But you got to know what comes right before it. God says, you got to be a cheerful giver. You want God to bless you a lot? Give a lot. Give your time, your talents, your gifts. You see someone in need, give. And maybe this year in 2019, we can be people who go out of our way to give. And maybe you say, you know what? Our budget is like so close. And okay, give a little bit of money. But more than that, maybe give your time. Give your talents, give your efforts to helping others. And don't just stockpile it and hold it all. Go be a blessing. I was thinking, I read this story this morning of this guy who had $11 million. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about the context of, and I hadn't prepared this, but the parable of the talents. Where we had a guy, where the three men, one was given 10 talents, and one was given 5 talents, and one was given the 1 talent. Remember what the one guy with the 1 talent did? He went and buried it in the ground. And then when the master came looking for what had happened to his talents, he says to that one guy who had gone and buried it in the ground, he said, "You could have at least put it in the bank and gained interest on it. You could have at least done that." And I was thinking about this morning as I was just coming in here. And I was thinking, what are we doing with the gifts and the talents that God has given us? It's really interesting. We read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We talked about the parable of the talents. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 4. And in all those places where we see gifts being given, we see a God that multiplies. God multiplies. And I don't. Please turn your Bibles over to Malachi chapter 3. I have to tell you, I have heard it said, and
I do not agree with this at all. I've heard it said that the story of the feeding of the 5,000, when the boy came with his loaves and his fish and presented them to Jesus, and Jesus prayed for them, that people saw the generosity of the boy, and that they all got their lunches out too and started passing it out. I've heard people say that. I don't agree. I think it was a miracle of Jesus Christ. Divinely food that came out of nowhere. I think the term they use is ex nihilo, to make something out of nothing. And I believe that that's what the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was. I believe that that's what happened in 2 Kings chapter 4. I believe that that's what God did in the wilderness with the children of Israel. I also believe it's what Jesus Christ did when he fed 4,000 people. And I believe that God, if we are faithful in serving him, God will be faithful in providing. And it's amazing how he does it, but he does it in a miraculous way. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." I totally believe that we have a God that blesses those who give faithfully to him. I was thinking about that this morning, how we were talking about Duane King in Kingdom Air Corps on the morning that I would preach this sermon. And I was thinking about how God has already provided $100,000. I don't know what God has in store for Duane King and his ministry, but I have to believe that God has a miracle prepared for that missionary. And we are going to watch and see over the next few months how God takes care of that ministry. I don't know what it is, but I know our God is faithful. And he will provide. And we are going to watch and we are going to see what God does. That's a faith that's real. And I've been watching Duane King since I was a little kid. And you don't forget him. Because he walks in, how many of you guys know Duane King? He walks into a room and you don't forget the man. The energy that he has and his faith in the Lord, I know God's going to work because he has been faithful to God and God will be faithful to him. Let's turn over our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look about faith and how faith is a gift of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9, it says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one in the Spirit, one in the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As you read this passage of Scripture, you say, the Spirit of God has different gifts and abilities for the people of God. And in this passage of Scripture, it says that one of those gifts that God will give to his people is that of faith. Have you been blessed with the gift of faith given to you by the Holy Spirit? And you trust, and you know, and you trust that if you get, you cannot outgive God. And our God is great, and he is amazing. But when we begin to give, and when we begin to have faith, and serve God and see what God will do, There are always those who doubt. Let's turn back in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. And as we continue to look at this story, it says in 2 Kings 4 in verse 43, it says, "But his servant said, 'What? Shall I set this before 100 men?'" And I don't know for certain, because I've looked this over, I've read this, but I believe that this is Gehazi, the same one that we read about earlier in the chapter, the same one that we're going to read about in the next chapter. And I guess I've thought about this, Gehazi and in the story of Naaman. But as I've been studying this, I'm going, man, Gehazi must have been kind of a tough guy for this faithful prophet of God to have around. Because Elisha's like, "Hey, you want to see God work? Let's see how God works in this area. God will provide. God will heal. God will do this." And Gehazi is always like, I don't know. Hang on a second here. Well, let's not jump into anything." And sometimes when we go to serve God, and we want to step out in faith, and we want to see God at work, and we say, "Let's see what God will do." Sometimes there are guys like Gehazi who said, "Wait a second. I don't know if we can do this. We have a God who is real, and he provides, and he provides miraculously. Do you believe it? Well, if you do, don't be a Gehazi, be an Elisha. And say, 'Here's a little bit of food. We want to feed 100 people. God can do it.'" I would love to. And one of the things that I want to pray next year is that as we turn the new year, and as we talk about sharing your personal faith with others, that each person in our church will have an opportunity to share the gospel next year. I would love that. And through that sharing of the gospel, we will see people saved. And I would love it if we invited people out to church and we just saw visitor after visitor coming into church. And you're like, "Oh, I don't know." Hey, come on. God can do it. If we're faithful to him and we open our mouths, we'll see people in the pews. Visitors, people getting saved and baptized. And I believe that God can do it. Can we pray that God will do it? Let's see God at work. Let's not be a Gehazi. In spite of all this skeptical questioning by Gehazi, Elisha remained persuaded that what he had said, God would truly do. And they took this food and they received it with thanksgiving. And they saw God do a miracle. Let's turn over our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." As we look at this passage of scripture, as Paul here is talking to Timothy, he says, "Timothy, when you receive something, it's from the Lord, and be thankful for what you have received. And God will greatly bless your ministry." Sometimes we're the giver, and sometimes we are the receiver. The point is that when God provides in response to our faith, he will supply.
And he will always, always, personally give us what we need. Enough, and usually enough to spare to others. Our God is faithful, he is good, and he provides. He's done it for you for however long you've been serving him. And next year, he will do the same if you let him. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you and I praise you so much for faith. Faith that we cannot give you. Faith that you will provide. Lord God, I believe wholeheartedly that in 2 Kings chapter 4, you miraculously provided food. I believe that in the Gospels, you miraculously provided food for 5,000, for 4,000. And Lord, I believe that you will miraculously provide. Lord, I thank you for those times when we need, so we can see you provide. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to remember those times where we were in need and you provided. Help us to be able to give to others who are in need. To go out of our way to look for those who could use a helping hand and be an encouragement to them. Lord, today, as we think about this and as we pray, I think today of Dwayne King. Lord, I pray that you will miraculously provide for Kingdom AmeriCorps. That you will do a great work, and we will see your hand doing great and mighty things. Lord, we know that there are people in our church family, in our community, who have needs, and Lord, they need you to provide. And I pray that you will lay it on the right person's heart at the right time to be an instrument of faith, not lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven, things that won't pass away. Help us to serve you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.